and our ultimate spiritual form is God's chosen people. And lastly, and what I'm going to talk a little bit about today, is God's actions in our lives and our interactions with Him are hidden from the world. I think we all know the story of the Pharisee who was pointing at him, blow a trumpet, you know, because he wanted to be seen for his alms. And we're commanded to take the opposite approach and to not announce our good deeds. Surely mankind witnesses God's creation, and he does say, yeah, someone had to do that. But there remains a mystery that this day commemorates, the ultimate changes that God alone and his word and his spirit alone possess and reveal to whom he chooses. Trumpets prefigures in modern terms, and this is really modern terminology, the big reveal. You have to watch the Extreme Home Makeovers and weight loss shows to know what the big reveal is all about. And I'm a little ashamed to reveal I know what that means. Perhaps it's silence in Scripture, and it is a very silent holy day. And even in the lunar cycle, because we are actually the only holy day that has almost no light to illuminate it in the night. Almost every other holy day starts at a full moon. Atonement is the 10th day of this month, of the month Tishri, but of the Hebrew month. But it is the sliver of a moon for trumpets. It's the only day like it. It's almost as if God is trying to tell us something in the concealment. Perhaps inside Scripture and all these things point to something that trumpets points to, the hidden manna, which comes from heaven, which indeed we must earnestly hunger for and thirst after and seek wholeheartedly for God to then open up and show us. I won't ask you to turn to your Scriptures because I'll be sensitive to the time we have, but I'll mention them. Luke 8:12, Matthew 13:13, Romans 10:17, and 1 Corinthians 13:12 will get you through the next four. Luke 8:12 reads, "And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to others in parables." We heard about a wonderful sermonette about parables today, and how fitting they are that they're kingdom symbolism, their kingdom means in those parables. How appropriate is that to the Feast of Trumpets? It says that seeing they might not see, and in hearing they might not understand. A trumpet blast is heard way before it is seen, if it is ever seen. You think about the watchman on the wall blowing the shofar. Chances are most people never saw the watchman, but they heard him. Matthew 13:13 reads, "Therefore speak I to them in parables," this is Christ, "because they seeing not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand." So again, another echo, and this is prophesied sort of in the book of Isaiah, about the hearts of the people, you know, waxing gross, ears being dull to hearing, not being having eyes to see and all that. So this is typology that's in the Old and the New Testament. Truly, trumpets is a day of revealing. In Romans 10:17, which I mentioned earlier, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Notice it didn't say what it did not say. Didn't say see. Our eyes are very deceptive. We tend to basically see with the eye, but we don't see through the eye. And in our modern day, it's becoming more and more obvious the incredible distraction, the incredible corruption, if you will, that is taking place in the visual, if you want to call it paradigm. We live in a visual society now. Everything's visual. People are visual. TV's visual. Entertainment's visual. Everything's visual. The internet's visual. But it says in the Bible that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It is the day of revealing who and what we are. And that takes a lot with it. It means it reveals our own depravity. And that's not something people want to hear. So if we wonder why this message is hidden to the world, it's because most people don't want to hear from God. They really don't. They say they do. But when they hear, it's something that points to their nature. And it points to the need for a Savior and repentance. And it points to a need to turn and to change. And people would rather not be told that. So it is quite part of our nature that we're dealing with on the Day of Trumpets. It reveals today our own hope, which lies in one man alone, Christ, who was God in the flesh and who died and was resurrected for us. 1 Corinthians 13:12 reads, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then, when will that be? Trumpets, face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known." The trumpet clarifies. It unifies a musical theme. It is seldom a background instrument. A trumpet solo is an amazing thing, and again, I got the privilege of doing them and tell you how wonderful they are, both for the player and the watcher. They're thrilling moments and quite passionate, quite bold. And we heard about boldness today and blowing the shofar, blowing the trumpet. A shofar blast in ancient times was a clarion call, and during the sermon today, it was at least 11 different uses of it. But there was something about that that I'd like to bring out. Yes, it was a call to battle, assembly, a coronation. But the unifying theme of all of those things that a trumpet was used for was that great change was about to take place. Great change. Whether that be a coronation of a new king, whether that be a gathering to war, that things were not going to be the same after the blast as they were before. Truly, after we hear God's calling in our life, when He claims us, things will never be the same again. We're brought out of this world to change and for Him to work that change through us. A trumpet blast happens in a lot of small ways in our lives, thousands of ways in our lives. I'd like to turn to Hebrews 3. I just mentioned a couple scriptures. In verse 7 through 10, and I probably would like to read all of it, but I don't feel like I should be. Hebrews 3, verses 7 through 10, it says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Spirit saith, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, They do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways." We all do like to hear this time of the year preached from the pulpit the things that are in season. The scriptures like Joel 2:1, it says, "Blow the heart, horn, and let Zion hear, for God's day is close at hand." We like to hear things like Isaiah 58:1, it says, "Cry aloud and spare not." We do need to hear those messages. Those are very part and parcel with what we're here for today. And we like that. And we should like that. Because yes, God will straighten things out. But what about now? What about today? What does this mean for us today? How can we build on this day in our lives, our hopes, and our dreams? The Jews, they keep 40 days of service leading up to what they call, you know, Rosh Hashanah, or you know, Yom Teruah. They keep 40 days before that of what they call mitzvah, or they basically do what they call good deeds. And I've read very little about it. You probably, some of you may have Hebrew or Jewish extraction or past experiences, and you know very much better than I do, because the book I read about this was 15 years ago. But I do recall some of the things they do this time of the year, and it's very meaningful, and it's very practical. They basically make right with what they've done wrong. They basically reconcile in those 40 days. And actually, they add 10 days to the 40 from basically today through atonement. They add the 10 days, and they call them the days of awe, which, again, I can't argue with that. Because if this is not the time in the days of awe, I don't know what it will be when Christ comes with that last trump. I don't know what can possibly be more awe-inspiring than the symbolism of today. But it's the little things that I am impressed with in the way the Jews keep these days. And I'm not recommending we change. I'm recommending we learn and we open our minds and hearts to understand that there's symbolism in this day that we may not always fully understand, but we are called to learn, to open our minds and hearts to what God reveals to us. And so the symbolism of this day could rightly be, what are we doing today when we hear the call? In Hebrews 7, we heard today, if you will hear his voice. What day is that talking about? It's not just talking about a prophetic day back in these days, 2,000 years, or in our day, maybe sooner. It's talking about each day. Each day. Harden not your hearts. When we hear God's voice telling us to repent in our day, when we hear God's voice telling us you need to dig deeper, there's something else you're missing. When we hear God's voice saying, you think you know something, but I've got news for you. I'm going to show you you don't know what you think you know. How do we respond to that? I can tell you, I haven't always passed that test very well. I was tested yesterday, as my wife was, on the steps of a building in Baltimore last night. And I was shaken to the core of my faith because I thought, quite frankly, that one of my best friends was dying before our eyes. And that's where I was last night. I got home at 2:30 this morning. And I will tell you, you haven't really tested your faith, or you haven't been tested until you have to come up with a prayer for God's intervention to save someone's life right before your eyes. You really don't know what faith is. I say that to myself, and I don't say that very admiringly at all about myself. And I was telling Mr. Lee that this morning, I felt like I was empty, and I had nothing, that my faith wasn't where it needed to be. That it wasn't strong. That it wasn't a reservoir of strength that it should have been. I felt like I was pleading with God. And I was. But if you've ever been there, then you'll know what I'm talking about. This is not a day to say, oh man, I've got it made. Though the rest of the world, wow, God's going to level that thing down real good. Yes, He will. Yes, He will. But He's leveling us out on this day. He's leveling us. He's bringing us to humility. He's bringing us to the core of our being and asking us, what do we believe in? What are we made of? It's not all about what He's doing with this world. It's about what is He doing with me and you here and now, today. And that's something we need to really think about in these days. God is trying to wake us up. That trumpet blast is a awakening call. My favorite scripture is Isaiah 61, rise, shine, for your day is come. That's all about an awakening. I get chills thinking about it. Could not our acts of kindness, our many prayers, our little words of praise, our deeds, which are hidden from the world, be our version of trumpet blasts? Could not these be our course corrections in our own lives? Admissions and confessions of an inner reality taking place that says, yes, Lord, I will follow you. Could not God be telling all of mankind, it is my good pleasure to help you, to resolve your problems, to heal you, to clothe you, and to feed you. Count on me. The greatest problem in this world is corruption. Man solving problems in man's ways. This is in the book of Judges. Yet our eyes are deceived. When we fail to see through them, with them, without that background of spirituality, without that foundation and core of God's commandments and His laws, we have nothing to offer this world to change it. We can't just talk change. We have to be changed. When God takes a hold of the soul, a heart on which He has put His signature, He has declared over you, you are His. He has blown the trumpet in your life, in my life. And when we see the depravity of our own lives and we recognize the duplicity with which we all live, that there's only one person big enough to transform us, that our hearts are His to transform. When we realize that, we truly seek to hunger and thirst after righteousness, His righteousness, and not our own. God will come in our greatest point of weakness, our greatest trial, our greatest need, and ultimately at the time of our death, and hold our hand and walk alongside of us into His kingdom. We won't get there on our own. I'll close with a couple thoughts and one scripture in Matthew 13:15. This is what Christ offers all of us, because this speaks to us in our lives. It spoke to me last night because my heart was all stony and hard. And God wants to break that up. He wants to change that. And I have to yield to Him. We all have to yield to Him. He said, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. That's a beautiful offer. What will be our end? God brings all to Him, ultimately. Today is a day to think about our end, to rejoice in it because we know where we are going. In the unifying name of Christ, in the great changes of our life, formation, transformation, and translation, all of this resides in one man's hands, in Jesus Christ. My knowledge of this life is small. The eye of faith is dim. But 'tis enough that Christ knows all, and I shall be with Him. It really doesn't get any more complicated than that. He who dwells in eternity defines time. He who dwells in eternity knows everything. And the ultimate goal we have is to be with Him. Everything on earth will pass, but He abides forever and has told us we will dwell with Him in this consummate communion, this communication with Him. I know of no man who says at his or her time of passing, or at his or her time of their greatest test, I prayed too much. I believed too much. I did too much for others. I had too much faith. I cared and I loved God way too much. I had all the faith I ever wanted and needed. I never heard it said. We all can draw from our needs. And in the things that happen, those little trumpet calls that are hidden from us, could be God breaking through our hard hearts, our deaf ears, and our blind eyes, and giving us direction. He is calling. He has the map. He has the goal. He has the kingdom. Let us truly be united in this.